The middle of, or not the middle of, we're in the midst of a series called Mission Possible. And we think it's a very doable and a very biblical message or mission. And here's the mission here at our church. It's more and better disciples. That's what we're all about, seeing more people come to faith in Christ and those that come to faith in Christ growing in their faith and becoming better disciples. Neither one of those things just happen on their own. We're a part of that. And we've been talking about the different purposes that we have as a church that allow us to accomplish that mission, because in order to finish the mission or to do the mission, it has to be done on purpose. So first of all, we said if we're going to become a better disciple, we need to pursue spiritual maturity. You and I need to pursue spiritual maturity if we would like to become a better disciple. It takes effort, it takes focus, and there are results. It won't just happen, but these things are good for us to pursue. And then last week we talked about becoming a better disciple by connecting with other believers. It's the Lego principle. And I had a good time with that. We did a good job. I think you did a good job with connecting with that. And it's interesting. I had to tell on you a little bit. I'm just being honest. I had to tell on you as the first service last week, because several of people that were here last week, maybe not several, but a few, they on their way out, they just tossed the Lego right back in the bucket, like saying, I am not going to connect. So if you did that, I have some available for you. And so the second service, I said, please do me a favor. Don't throw it in any place until you at least get to the parking lot. And so that was okay. And then some of you, it was hilarious. Last week, you missed second service. I was having a good time with some people, helping them how to work Legos, because it's been a long time. And they're like, no, they don't work that way. You got to get connected. So if we're going to be better disciples, we have to become connected with other believers. And so that's really important. So the third purpose that relates to becoming a better disciple is the one we're going to look at this morning. We become a better disciple when we serve others unselfishly. When we serve others unselfishly. So I'll give you a moment to write that down. It's the third purpose that we think helps to accomplish becoming a better disciple. And I would say that even though the process or the practice of serving others is found throughout the pages of Scripture, it still brings anxiety to people. When you talk about serving in the church or serving God, it brings feelings like fatigue. When you say serve, some people are like, I'm tired already, you're just saying it. Or some people are disappointed because they served at one time and then it didn't work out, or they wanted to serve and it didn't work out, and so they're disappointed. Sometimes there's jealousy. There's a whole book in the Bible written about the jealousy of serving. It's called 1 Corinthians. I got this gift, you got that gift, I don't have that gift, my gift's better than your gift. What are you going to do with your gift? My better than your gift? I'm going to get more praise for my gift. If you read 1 Corinthians, it's all about what are we going to do with our serving. And people being jealous about it. And it says the greatest command is to love one another instead of being jealous about your gift. And then there's also the idea of guilt. When you talk about serving, people feel guilty. Okay. If the Holy Spirit makes you feel guilty, great. That's what he's there for a little bit, to do some convicting. So the idea is, when we talk about serving, a lot of different things come to our mind. But I want to make this statement to you. The bottom line for a follower of Christ, whether you're part of this church or not, the bottom line for a follower of Christ is that biblical serving is not about a few people doing everything or every person doing the same thing, but rather it is everyone equipped, empowered, and expected by God to do something. It's not just a few people doing everything. It's not people doing the same thing, but it's people being equipped, empowered, and expected by God to do something. That's what it is, according to the Bible. That's biblical serving. But when you talk about serving, excuse me, let me fix this here, it's bothering me tremendously. When you talk about serving, whether it's in the context of a message or talking about it just in conversation, there are struggles related to serving. I call them serving struggles. That means you're going to get some pushback in your own life. Satan's going to push you back about serving. We're going to have some serving struggles that we have to deal with. We need to be aware of these struggles if we're going to serve. Because my goal this morning is really to challenge you about the idea of serving, and that being a better disciple must involve serving in some way, shape, or form. So let me give you some what I call the serving struggles, things that kind of hinder us from serving. Here's the first one. You have the wrong attitude. And I'll make that personal. I can have the wrong attitude. Wrong attitude is a serving struggle. Philippians chapter 2, you don't need to turn there, but I'll read it for you. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 say this. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. So simply put, if we are more concerned or only concerned with our own interests, serving our own interest, we will not serve other people. Now, this verse is not saying that you shouldn't be concerned about your family, that you shouldn't care for your family, that you shouldn't serve your family. It's not saying that. It's not saying that you shouldn't serve at work or be serving at school or all these different things. It's not saying that at all. But if we only are concerned about our own interests, we will not serve God's church. And we have the wrong attitude. Here's how it may play out. You may be thinking about serving, but here's what, I want to serve my way. My way is the best way to serve. Pastor Jay, I want to help serve here, but you have to do it my way. Okay. Love to have the verse for that. Or instead of, I want to serve my way, it has to be this way. I can only serve this way. And if you don't allow me to serve this way, then I'm not going to serve at all. Wow, you need an attitude adjustment. And so do I. Because that will keep us from serving. And we don't have time to go into all of this, but if you were to read the verses that follow 3 and 4, it talks about Jesus Christ serving us by going to the cross in humility. Was he thinking about other people when he went to the cross? Absolutely. Can you imagine this absurd conversation with God the Father while Jesus was here on earth? Yes, God, I will die for these people. I want to serve these people, but I'm not going to do the cross thing. That's not the way I want to serve. I prefer to do something a little less painful. Well, Christ, that's the way that we have planned this to be. I know, but I want, my way is better. I still want to serve, but it has to be my way. Can you imagine that absurd conversation? Now, there was a little bit of this in the garden when he said, not my will, but your will be done. So if we're struggling with serving, maybe we have an attitude issue. I'm not going to answer that for you because you'll give me attitude right back just answering that. But you need to talk about that. What's keeping you from serving? Do you have that struggle? Here's a second struggle that keeps us from serving. Season of life changes. Wow. Okay. Wasn't expecting people to laugh about that. Maybe you're just so happy the season of life that you're in. I don't know. But seasons of life come upon all of us. We do. Or they do. We have, in our church, we have young kids. We have, you know, teenagers, we have college age, we have single adults, we have married couples with children, we have married couples that are empty nesters, we have oldsters, as Angela had says, and we have people that are taking care of parents. We have people in all different seasons of life. And the good news is when you go into certain ones, God doesn't expect you to serve. Yay. No. I found this verse this week that just blew me away. Acts chapter 13, the Apostle Paul says this about David, King David. It says, now when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep, he was buried with his ancestors, and his body decayed. So, I don't know if you see the humor of this verse. David served God his entire life, and the season of life that ended the service was death. Do you see that? He served God's purpose in his own generation from when he was kind of with Goliath all the way to being old, and then it stopped when he died. Now, I don't think he was killing lions and bears when he was getting really up in age and he stopped going out in the battles, but throughout his life, wherever season of life is, David served until he was no more. Right to the end. If you're in school, can you serve? Absolutely. If you're in college, should you be serving? Yes. If you're single, should you serve? Yes. If you have kids at home, serve. It's hard. It's hard. And you say, I know, I'm serving my kids. You are serving your kids. I agree with that. But God wants you to serve in his kingdom in different ways as well. Maybe you're an empty nester and you have opportunity to travel and all those kind of things. That's wonderful, but still take the opportunity to serve. Maybe you're a parent or a grandparent or both or a great-grandparent. Awesome. Should you still be serving? Yes. Maybe you're taking care of parents. I mentioned this before. Maybe you're an oldster or whatever. Here's the point of this verse. No matter what season of life you're in, as long as you're alive, you should be serving. And the season of life that you're in may change how you serve, but it should not change if you serve. It may change how you serve, but not if you serve. Not everyone in this room is equipped to be the Awana Games leader. Right? But every person in this room that's a follower of Jesus Christ will be a better disciple as you serve. So don't let your season of life stop you. Here's a third serving struggle. I call it short-sightedness. Short-sightedness. What happens is we may get distracted or discouraged because we want to see more results or faster results. And that's hard when serving. You want to see those results right away. And I agree that seeing results in serving or when we serve, they're motivating. When we see results, it's motivating to us. But we won't always see the results right away. Just you're going to have to deal with it. And don't be discouraged about that. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says this, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." That verse is encouraging us. Don't be short-sighted about serving because you won't always see the results. I know one of the things that I had to deal with in my many years of being a youth pastor was, what's going to happen with these knuckleheads? My goodness, and Joe knows what I'm talking about. You get some of these kids from middle school, and you watch them grow up. They go through puberty. Their voices go down, and they go really low, and all these things change. And then you see them graduate from high school, and they go off to college or into a career, and you're still going, what is going on? Did I make any impact whatsoever? And then sometimes, years later, they come back, and they say something. Sometimes they never do, but you still have an impact. Should you give up if you don't see results right away? Absolutely not. Don't give up. You may be thinking, what am I doing in the nursery? I mean, what results am I seeing? I don't know. Maybe you get kids to not cry as much as they usually do. I don't know. But don't worry. Your labor is not in vain. Here's another. Well, let me just, before I give you the next one, short-sightedness, let me just remind you of this concept. Serve even when you don't want to. And what I mean by that is, you're supposed to serve in a particular ministry and you get up and you're like, You just need to go. I imagine there's probably a great conversation that happens between Marty and Kim every Wednesday as commander and co-commander-in-chief about, Are you going to go tonight? Well, I think I have to go. Yeah, you should go. I don't want to go. You need to go, right? I don't know. I just, get out the door, right? Your supper, no supper till you go to Awana, right? But it's hard. Sometimes you don't necessarily want to be there, but once you get there and you serve, it's worth it. So don't be short-sighted. Just do it. Here's a fourth serving struggle, time constraints. We have constraints on our time. I completely understand that. Time constraints. But I want to point you to a verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. I know I'm just having you kind of look at these. I'm going to take you to some verses in just a few moments. But Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1 says, there is a time for, can you read that small print? What does it say? Time for what?
Everything.
Everything. What does the word everything mean? I know visitors are like, is this a tough question? No, it's not. It's everything. So is there a time for serving? Yes. There's a time for everything, a season for every activity under the heavens. So everything you and I do takes time, doesn't it? Work takes time. Raising kids takes time. Dealing with your husband or wife takes time. I mean, loving your husband and wife takes time. Strike that, Bruce. We'll have to go back and figure it. Going to school, doing homework, being in sports, all these things take time. Do they not? Yes, they do. The things we want to do take time. The things we don't want to do take time. The things we should do take time. And the things we shouldn't do all take time. And when we get caught up on all this, you know what we want? We want more time. I hate to break it to you, you don't get any more. Everybody gets the same amount of time. So when it comes to serving, that means we have to manage our time better. So in the midst of the time constraints, let me give you a phrase here. Make sure you create margins for serving. I can explain this to you later in person if you want to know more about this, but creating a margin means you're carving out something important in your life, no matter, it may be even a small amount of time, but you're creating space for something to happen in your life because it's really important. And since serving is important to becoming a better disciple, you and I must create margins for serving. What might that look like practically? Put it on your calendar. Put it in your phone. Show up. Sign up. Man up. And you're going to have time constraints? Absolutely. But according to this verse, because we want to be biblical here, right? I think that's what we're all about. There is a time for everything, and that includes serving. So don't let time be a struggle that keeps you away. One more serving struggle is called serving myths. I've actually put a number of these underneath this title of serving myths. I think sometimes people struggle with serving because there's some myths associated with serving. I'm not going to have these on the screen. I'm just going to throw them out there. You don't have to write them down. But here's some of the myths that I've encountered from people. I don't have anything to offer the church. If I had one of those little buzzards, I'd go, eh. Not true. Not true at all. That's a myth. God is only looking for grandiose service. That means up front, front of people, everybody watching. It's not true. Behind the scenes and in front of the scenes, we need all kinds of servants. Here's another myth. The church doesn't need my help. It's not true. And then one final one. I think this really stops people from serving. It's unspiritual to ask about serving. If I come to the pastor and go, I haven't been serving and I'd like to serve, you feel like guilty about asking. Don't feel guilty about asking. We love those conversations. That's not unspiritual at all to ask. Where can I plug in? Is it too presumptuous to ask about serving? Absolutely not. So we have serving struggles that we go through. All of us will. And I'm hoping you're processing this. I hope that God is working in your heart as we move through this. Now, I want to turn the corner a little bit because in the midst of the serving struggles, there are some things that will happen if we give in to the struggles and we don't serve. There are some results of not serving that I think we need to mention real quickly. Here's the first one. Possible burnout for those who are already serving. If we give in to the serving struggles and we don't step up and try to all get involved in serving, there may be a few people who are like, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. I'm serving in 10 different ministries. I cannot do this anymore. That's a possibility. And that would be a shame. And that's a direct result of other people not serving. It used to be said that most churches have 10% of the people doing 90% of the work. That is not true here, but a recent survey that we did just by looking at our congregation showed that 53% of the people were involved in serving in one way or another. You do the math. 47% are not. And I say, wow, that's much better than 10. Yay. Okay, you tell me. Would you rather have your investment be 10%, 53%, or like 80%? You tell me. The investment would be probably 80% would be great if you get 80% back. So the idea is we're thankful for the 53%. But understanding that we could be doing better. We could be. And one of the results is possible burnout. We have a goal that we talk about as a staff. Every member and every regular attender serving in one way. At least one way. Trying to serve in one way. Did I say five? No. Two even? No. One way. Now, if you're like, whoa, I got to cut back. Now, I'm not asking. Please don't all quit today. That'll be a big problem. That'll be like directly the opposite of what I was planning today. But every member and regular attender serving in some way. Here's another result of not serving. It perpetuates what I call the other person mentality. I have done my time. Let somebody else serve. I'm all done. All done. Somebody else. Another person will do it. Or you hear about a need. We talk about a need. You read about a need in the bulletin and you go, that is just, oh, what a terrible need we have here at our church. I'm sure another person will step up. That can be a result of not serving. I want to say this to you. Maybe someone else should be doing what you used to do, but if we perpetuate the other person mentality, we will have a serving crisis. And you might miss out on when God wants you to be the other person. You follow that? If we perpetuate the other person mentality and think other people are going to do this, I don't want to do anything, then we're going to have a serving crisis. And you might miss out on the time when God is nudging you and saying, hey, by the way, you're that other person. So be careful about that. That result can be very detrimental to the church. Here's another result of not serving. The church is hindered in fulfilling its purposes. I know you may say, why are you talking about this? Why are you talking about the results of not serving? Because I think it's important for us to see, as a congregation, as a body of Christ, as believers, understand, serving is just not one of these purposes that every church thinks they need to have. It really is a practical thing. And we'll be hindered in our purposes if people choose not to serve. Now, I will say right away that as a staff, we talk about different ministries. And there are times when ministries run their course. And you just kind of, you stop doing them. That's okay. But if we are to fulfill our mission here and reach out to kids and families and adults and teenagers, bottom line, practically speaking, we need volunteers. We need people to help. It just won't happen. I want you to ask yourself this question. If people served to the extent that I do, would this church be able to function? If people served to the extent I do, would this church be able to function? That can be a result of not serving. There's one more result of not serving. It's non-service contradicts the example. All right, Bruce, where you guys can look. Where did all the slide people go? Where'd they go? They're burned out. Bruce, did they just leave? They just walked out. That's awkward. Oh, they're coming back now. Thank you. All right. Just a small example. We won't be able to fulfill our purpose. Because some of you are like, if there's nobody back there to click that next blank, I am leaving. Not serving contradicts the example of Christ. That's a result. This is probably where I paused most in my preparation and said, I want to be balanced, but I want to be biblical. I want to be firm, but I don't want to be harsh. Bottom line, for you and for me, if we're not serving, we're disobeying the example of Christ. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And think about this with me. He came, spent time with guys for about 3+ years, We call them the disciples. I call them the advanced knuckleheads, okay, because they struggle with stuff. You know that ragtag group of the disciples, he spent time with them, and then he goes to the cross, and he dies, and he resurrects, and he spends time with them after the resurrection, and then he says to them, I'm leaving. And then he says, you guys are in charge. But the expectation for Christ with them and for us is, I'm going to leave you in charge, and one of the things you have to do for the church is you have to serve each other. You have to serve in the church. That is a huge expectation that Christ said. He said, when I leave, you guys are going to have to operate the church, and one of the things you have to do is you have to serve each other. So if I don't serve, if you don't serve, we're contradicting the example of Jesus Christ. We're not fulfilling the desire that he had for the church. So let me turn corner one more time as we finish up. Serving can be a struggle. But if we don't serve, there are some results of not serving that can have a profound effect on our spiritual life and our church. So the question is this, why serve? It's a struggle. I realize the results of not doing that could be profound. So why should you and I serve? There are many different reasons, but let me just give you quickly three reasons. Number one, serving creates opportunities for others to be encouraged in their faith and hear the gospel message. Serving creates opportunities for others to be encouraged in their faith and hear the gospel message. Nursery, kids ministries, Awana, youth group, community group, a greeter, a trustee, a deacon, an usher, parking lot attendant, worship team, decorating, cleaning, whatever, and the list could go on and on and on, all different ways that people serve. They're all important to create the opportunities for people to grow in their faith and hear the gospel. You're like, really? That has something to do with it? Absolutely does. The young mom comes in. She's got a few kids with her. And she's hoping to come in and just be encouraged in the Word of God and be able to worship. And she walks in the church and she's like, where's your nursery? We don't have one. How come? Well, we don't have anybody who wants to work in the nursery. Oh, okay. Okay. She brings the kids into the service and knows that they're going to really struggle. And after 5 minutes, she has to get up and go out into the foyer and has to be with them the whole time because she just has to. And is she allowed to worship and grow in her faith and be encouraged by God? No. Why? Because somebody or people did not want to do what? Serve in the nursery. And you think nursery work is not important? It is absolutely important. I was thinking about having, instead of the slide people go out, let's just send all the babies in, but that would not go well. Mommy, ma. That would have just been really bad. That would not have turned as quickly over as that did, right? So you understand how it creates the opportunity? We have people over and over again who come to visit our church, and those that eventually stay say, hey, when I came, one of the things I first noticed was how friendly your people were. Your greeters were great. Oh, I'm just a greeter. No, you're not just a greeter. You're a gospel-preparing person. You're a growing in Christ, growing in faith-preparing person. Really? I didn't see that in my job description. I thought I was just supposed to hand out a bulletin. Yeah, so that's important. So when you come to be a greeter, don't be grumpy. Because you're not just being a greeter. If you're helping out with youth group, you may speak into the life of a young person for the rest of their life, creating an opportunity for them to grow in their faith. You see what I'm saying? So serving, why serve? Because it makes a difference. And it creates these opportunities. Here's a second reason why we should serve. Servant living will be rewarded in the future. It's true. Servant living will be rewarded in the future. I want to read a couple passages for you. There are several verses, but let me read them for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Follow on the screen as I read. If anyone, talking about followers of Christ, builds on this foundation, that's Jesus Christ and the church, using gold, silver, and costly stones, those are good things, or wood, hay, or straw, those are things that don't last, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light, it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. So this first passage is saying, for believers, we're going to be evaluated on the work that we do. And it won't be a matter about salvation, but it should be a matter about the service that we did, and we'll be rewarded. And things that we did for ourselves with the wrong motives, it'll just burn up. But things that we did for God and for his church will last. Then 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. For we, believers, Jesus Christ, all of you in this room that are believers in Christ, must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Again, has nothing to do with salvation. Has everything to do with our service. So believers are called to build the church through faithful ministry that will be evaluated and will be rewarded. So why serve? Because there'll be an evaluation and there'll be a reward. Now, I want to just throw this out real quick. You may have heard the fact that the Bible mentions some crowns, like the crown of life and the crown of righteousness. I don't think these verses have to do with the crowns. I think there are some crowns. This is talking about rewards for your service. And you say, what do you do with the rewards? And some people automatically say, well, we're going to take all our rewards and cast them at the feet of Jesus. I need to see that verse. It's not there. Because I don't think the rewards here are physical crowns or physical rewards or something that you can actually pick up. I think what happens is you enter heaven and you are eternally blessed by completing the story of God's grace through your service. And you're rewarded for that. There's the concept of rewards in heaven. It's been said this way, rewards in heaven are the completion of our earthly story, and those rewards will be eternally satisfying. So why do I serve? Partly because it'll be rewarded. Last thing, wrap it up here. Serving, why should I serve? Serving demonstrates good stewardship, illustrates variety, and expresses God's grace. Good stewardship illustrates variety and expresses God's grace. All of these are found in this verse. I would like you to turn with me, if you would. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, the Pew Bible number is in there if you'd like it. 1 Peter chapter 4, because if you have your own Bible, you might want to mark this. This is a great service verse. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. Again, referencing followers of Christ. Each of you, how many of you? What does each mean? All or every? Okay. See, I love how you just walk right into that stuff with me. Great. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So we see the three things. Stewardship, should use, not have to use, might use, when I get around to it, use, should use. As good stewards. Stewardship, should use. So you don't have to, you get to serve. Secondly, variety. Should use whatever gift you have received. The Bible talks about that every single person who is a follower of Christ has been given something to use for service. And I love the variety. I love the variety. We have some people in here who can serve through using artistic skills or decorating skills or mechanically speaking. Maybe they help somebody out serving with fixing a car. I just mentioned those three because I can't do any of those. I can draw a mean stick person. Well, not a mean one, just one that is just a stick person. Decorating, no. Mechanics, no. I can work on your car. Be happy to try. No. So, good stewards, variety, and then it expresses God's grace. But he says, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms, listen to me. I have been reached with God's grace. So have you, if you've accepted Christ. For by grace you've been saved. Yes? What is one of the immediate and natural results of being touched by grace? Serving. Grace produces service in various forms. God has saved me. I will serve him. God has blessed me. I will serve him. God has forgiven me. I want to serve him. Grace produces service. Better disciples serve others unselfishly. It's not easy, but it's worth it. Think about it this way. If we want to become maybe healthier, we eat better and we exercise. This is kind of the common denomination there. If you want to become a better disciple, don't just eat God's word. Serve. Because if you just take it in and you don't serve, you're going to have a calorie issue. You might need to serve. And if you are serving faithfully here at our church, thank you. Thank you, thank you so much for doing that. Maybe you're the type of person who is serving kind of sporadically, or maybe you need to take it to the next level. Maybe you're serving in this area, and maybe you need to come up to the next level. Think about it. And if you're here and you're like, I really haven't been serving that consistently, I want to invite you to join us on the journey. To join us. We're going to just close with a video here about serving.
To our volunteers, we thank you. You get up early. You're the last ones out the door, day or night. You serve to be a part of the bigger story that is unfolding. You play the role that only you can play. And it's a story that we're all writing together. You realize that serving is more than the task that you do. It's more than making coffee. It's more than cleaning, or playing an instrument, or working behind the scenes, or hosting a small group, more than hanging out with teens, or playing trains with a child, more than handshakes and warm smiles, more than singing a song or having a conversation. It's way more than that. You serve to build a church community that welcomes people wherever they are at. You serve to create a safe place to explore faith. You serve because God first served us. You serve as a way of life. You serve to show compassion and grace and love. You serve to show that there are second chances and to show that God does not give up on people. You don't serve for power, recognition, popularity, or applause. You give when it's not easy and sacrifice when it's hard. You have found joy when you put yourself second. You believe in a story bigger than yourself and a dream that only God can deliver on. What you do matters. It matters more than you often realize. Together we can do so much. Together we are used by God. And if you're not part of this story, we invite you in. And to all of our volunteers, we thank you. We honor you. We couldn't do church without you being the church.